I am doing fantastic. It is a Friday here, and we have a wonderful guest with us, Jared Vickers. It has been a long time coming since we've had Jared Vickers on the docket. I know that we wanted to do this back in June. Now we're here in September, and we finally have the one and only Jared Vickers with us. Now, a couple things before I jump into Jared. I gotta say that most people probably don't know a lot about Jared Vickers.
Well, that's most sad.
Yeah, it is. And one thing is, I will say, Jared is one of the friendliest gentlemen you will ever meet.
I have a story about that really quick, Mr. Gilpin.
Yeah, Ed, jump in.
So I was at the Harper Creek football game. Well, it was a Western football game last year, and we were playing at Harper Creek because our field wasn't ready. We were playing Lake Odessa or Lakewood, Lake Odessa. And just standing down on the fence with my dad like we always do, and this guy walks up and just starts talking to us. And we're like, who's this guy? And he pretty much just hung out with us and talked to us the whole game. It was Dr. Vickers here, and great guy. We got to know him, and he laughed at my dad's like, well, that was cool, and it was. So I know a little bit about Mr. Vickers from that football game, Mr. Gilpin.
That's really cool, and that's a nice thing about the Western community. You know, we're all tied together, and we can have those conversations. And Colby Sharp can talk to the doctor, Dr. Vickers. Yes. So, Dr. Vickers, you have a history of, I believe you were once in the Chicago area, and if my memory serves me correctly, you were in kind of a rough spot in Chicago. You had some challenges that you had to deal with. Is that correct?
That's correct. After I graduated Hope College, I moved to Waukegan, Illinois, which is 40-50 miles north of Chicago, and very much an urban setting. And so coming from the mid-Michigan area, it was a change, but a great experience. From there, I moved to Skokie, Illinois, which is just north of Chicago, and taught special ed on both the middle school and high school level. And great experience, but helped a lot of students that were challenging in different aspects of their life.
I would say that there's probably none of those challenges that Dr. Vickers deals with at Woodville, but I do believe he probably deals with it. That experience probably helps you when you have to deal with your young fiber, Derek.
That's right. Yep. Well, I think just whether at home or at school, what I learned there and through the special ed was really looking at each student individually and the needs that each student have. And working at Western Options High School, really a passionate staff that really goes above and beyond to meet the needs of the students. And that's what I really cherish about the program we have there.
That's fantastic. Now, a little bit about you. So we found out that, but what about you've got, we know, I just mentioned Derek. Derek's a young fiver here at Warner. Tell us about, you also have a daughter, you also have a wife. Tell us a little bit about them.
Yep, Ava's in first grade at Bean. And she loves school. She loves playing school at home. So I think she might be a future teacher. And then my wonderful wife is Betsy Vickers. She's a social worker, part owner of the Healing Place in Jackson. It's a counseling center. And but with the two kids, they keep us busy.
Fantastic.
Derek starts flag football tomorrow with the Y in Jackson. And Ava is in gymnastics and dance, the Academy of Arts here in Spring Arbor. So our schedule's busy.
You know, I think so many people can relate to that. Wouldn't you say, Colby, so many educators and parents that we have in the Western District, not only are they working, but they're also parents, and they're also very involved, just like what it sounds like Jared is.
Yeah, I think that finding that balance is pretty much the key to happiness. You know, so it sounds like Jared's doing a lot of things that he loves to do and that are fun to do. And I don't know, Ben, I don't know about you, but for me, that's the key. Is I just try to only do things that are awesome and surround myself with awesomeness. So whether it's going to my kids' stuff or coaching football or teaching, there's no, I'm busy, but I'm busy doing stuff that I love. So I think that's, whenever possible, that's the key.
That's terrific. So let's get into a little bit of content. Now, I don't think a lot of people in the Western community, Western staff included, know a lot about what is going on or what has happened. So I would love for you to kind of give us some insight, a couple cool things that you're really proud of at Western Options, and possibly even something that you're looking forward to changing this year.
The unique thing about Western Options is it's, like I mentioned, is very individualized. Rather than having a 6 or 7 class or period day, our students concentrate on 1 or 2 classes a day on a shorter period of time. So we have progress reporting periods every 13 days. So in those 13 days, students should complete either one or two of those classes, which allows them to focus on 1 or 2 classes rather than 6 or 7 at a traditional high school. And it's also individualized, so students can take classes online or more traditionally in a book. But once they finish a course, they move on. So they're in charge of their learning, which really plays into the movement we're hearing around the country is anywhere, anytime, and putting the students in control of their learning. Students have to be 16 to enroll. They can't be older than 20. So there's a maturity aspect to it. They have to be able to self-monitor themselves and work through courses individually with support of a teacher, support staff, when needed.
It's basically, I mean, Colby, you're hearing it too, I'm sure, but blended learning.
Right.
We've definitely got that blended learning aspect. That is really, really powerful because we know that's where we're headed as not only a district, but probably, more importantly, probably as a nation too. A lot of blended learning, a lot of different opportunities anytime, anywhere. You know what I like about that, though? Essentially 13 days for a course, and I think about our attention span as people, and I'm not just saying kids, I'm just saying attention span as people, and I would tend to think that 13 days, you're able to focus in a little bit tighter, a little bit more focused than you would be in a year-long situation.
Right. They are able to focus more. Retention, if you learn something at the beginning of the semester, students need to retain that till the end of the semester. Well, today's society, with technology and everything, students are taking in much more than they were 20, 30 years ago. So I don't know if they're able to retain as much. They're able to retain as much, but being able to concentrate on that 1 or 2 courses and then move on helps students stay focused, like you mentioned, not to lose their attention span in that course, but also puts the student in control of their learning.
Very good. I think Colby and I would love to hear, do you have a success story from either this year already or possibly last year that you would be willing to share with us?
Last year we had a student come in, and she came in with 10 credits, and she was determined that she was going to graduate. She was from a nearby district, and she really wanted to graduate with her class the same year. All of her friends were seniors and were graduating, planning for graduation and stuff. She came in and she needed 16 credits. And so the teacher sat down and made a plan. And this is how many credits you're going to need to earn each PRP. And she stuck to it. During the day here at school, she was working out of a book and doing the courses she needed to do at school. In the evening, she was accessing the E2020 Edgenuity classes and completing those, working on the weekend, and she earned 16 credits in 1 year. Now that is a tremendous success story. On average, our students earn 6 to 8 credits per year.
Wow! So that's basically double. What do you draw from that, Colby?
I just think that empowering kids to take control of their learning is a special thing. And you know, a lot of these kids probably haven't felt very successful all the time in school, and maybe they haven't, you know, had some of the successes in the traditional environment. So I love the idea of that kid sitting down with a teacher and making a plan, having the end in mind, and then finding a way to get there. I think that's it. I mean, we teach the 7 habits here at Parma, and just thinking what a perfect example of beginning with the end in mind.
And with that, with the classes, they have a pre and a post test that they have to complete. So the teachers ensure that students have mastered the content before they move on. So if they finish a unit and they take the test, and they don't do so well, then they need to go back and almost remediation, look at what areas they didn't get on the test and correct those areas before they can move on.
You know, so often, Colby, I know you and I hear this all the time about failure and fear of failure, and when people fail, it's basically the end. I now, you know, there's a movement now, and we've heard this for some time, that failure is more a first attempt in learning. And what I love hearing right now about Woodville Options is that if you've experienced difficulties, if you've experienced challenges, you've got options. You've got the ability to have a second chance. And failure is not the end-all sale. So that's what I really think is cool about that. Transitioning a little bit, though, we talk about reflection being such a powerful tool for educators. Reflect some of the great things that have happened, but also helping you to move forward. Is there something you reflect on from your first year at Woodville, and now you're looking forward to maybe tweaking it a little bit, or you can't wait to get to it again this year?
One thing that we're looking forward to this year that we didn't do last year as a staff, we looked at the RTI model and looking at interventions that we can put into place for students that are struggling. Like Colby said, some of our students haven't been successful in school. So when they come to options, it's not that they're going to be automatically successful. So what we found last year was students were not being successful, and each teacher would handle that in the class and help put interventions into place. But this year we're coming together as a team, so once a week we meet and we have an intervention support system that the whole team meets, and every staff brings 2 to 3 students, and we discuss as a team that student. And that gives the teachers ability to share notes with what the student might be experiencing in their class and strengths and weaknesses that they've seen. What can we put into place as a school? Our social worker, Jasmine Clue, helps us with anything that might be going on outside of school. So we're really looking at the whole student and what we can put into place with the interventions that we have that we can offer them to make them successful.
And I know that, Colby, I know that you've got RTI in place. I know our Bean Elementary. Actually, you know what? I take that back. I'm not sure if there's any place in the district that doesn't have something with some interventions in place, which is really cool. And it's nice to see that that's also at Woodville. And even more importantly than having the interventions in place, getting teachers collaborating and talking about what is best for kids. To me, that is the critical piece. As we wrap up today, as we wrap up this fantastic Friday, Homecoming Friday, Western, Homecoming Friday, woo-hoo! Couple big announcements. I'm going to hold those up, and Colby, let me throw it to you for your final take with Dr. Vickers.
No, I think it's exciting. It's just exciting to hear more of Woodville's story. I've been coaching middle school football with Aaron Baum, one of Jared's teachers, and it's just been great to hear the excitement that he has for all of the different things that they're doing and the things that they're trying, and he just has... Aaron has such a passion for what he does, and to hear it from the leader of the lead learner in their building, it's exciting too. Exciting to know that, I guess we just need to make sure that we appreciate what we have and we understand that this is a great thing and a great thing of Western that we need to celebrate.
Well said. Very well said. Now, being Homecoming Friday tonight, the Western Panthers. Woohoo! Western Panthers, coached by Coach Dave Mifsud, take on the Coldwater Cardinals. Going to be a good one. Hopefully everybody comes out and cheers on our Western Panthers. Next week, special guest. Actually, there's more than one. Special guests, Coach Dave Mifsud.
Really?
Along with one, and I don't know who yet, one of our varsity football players as well. And we're not going to be strictly talking football next week, everyone. We're also going to be talking about getting into the elementaries and what are we doing with reading, which is right up your alley, Colby Sharp.
Yeah, and I'm all in. I'm drinking the Dave Mifsud Kool-Aid. That man has got it going on, and what he's done, and the atmosphere around that program and Western football. I don't know. I'm going to go off a little bit, but anyone who was at the game. So I played football at Western. All right. My dad played football at Western. My brothers, my uncles, my cousins. Like, Western football is very important to us. And that game where they beat Penfield was the biggest win I have seen in my lifetime. And then last week, after falling behind 28-0, Mr. Gilpin, they came back, had the lead in overtime, had a chance to win, couldn't pull it out. But that was the most proud of a Western team I have ever been. And I was such an honor to be a Panther. Such an honor, and just exciting things are happening, and I cannot wait. I cannot wait to see them take the field against a hungry and good Coldwater team. And you know, you never underestimate these boys. There's something special going on. Something special going on Dr. George M. Baker Memorial Field.
That is fantastic. Tonight, when I see you at the game, Mr. Sharp, I hope you'll hand me some of that Kool-Aid. No, I'm just kidding. But it should be a fantastic game tonight. Come out, support our Western Panthers. Once again, thanks to Dr. Vickers. We always like to hear the stories that are going on in Western School District. And if you don't know what's going on at Woodville, tune in. I hope you tuned into this episode. Spread the great things that are happening in the district, at Woodville, and all around. So, Colby, go ahead and take it away for us, please.
Hey, I hope everyone has a wonderful, wonderful weekend. Next week of school, I know we're all tired. I know we're all working hard. Just keep it up, and don't forget to share your stories.